This is God's word in Matthew 23, verses 10 through 12. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Thank you for a great lunch. Thank you for a warm welcome. At a meeting like this, sometimes I don't get to talk to as many people as I wish I could. You kind of have your choice between talking a little bit to a lot of people or talking a lot to a few people. And I'm just thankful to be with you, even if I didn't get a chance to spend much time. I'm thankful for this time. It's kind of like life on earth itself. It's not very long, but it can be very precious, shared with loved ones in the service of the Lord. And I hope that is the manner of my life and your life while we live here on earth. It's like one of the songs we sing. Whether many or few, all my years are His due. May they all be devoted to Him. This morning I was trying to preach that by the faith given to us through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should take courage. This afternoon, what I'd like to preach to you is by the faith given to us through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should humble ourselves. As I look upon some of my prayers in past years, I can't remember all of them, but I can remember some ways that I prayed amiss. That means not prayed correctly. I don't know if you've had that experience, but I have. When I was 10, I had an opportunity to go away to a summer boarding school in North Carolina. And so away I went to live in a dormitory for 5 weeks and study some things. And I had two roommates, Gary and Lee. We were all 10 years old, learning to make our beds and clean our rooms and go to classes and stuff. One day we got to talking. I said, "What do you guys pray about?" And they said, "Well, we pray for our families and our loved ones and friends and help." I said, "Wow, is that all? I pray that I be the greatest man in the world." And all of a sudden they felt kind of ashamed that their prayers weren't more ambitious. And, well, I kind of pray like that too. And as I got older, I began to realize how silly my prayer was and how sincere theirs was, and learned that, you know, rather than being the greatest man in the world, it's a lot better to be the least in the kingdom of heaven. And there's a growing up that I certainly needed to do. Maybe you've had that experience too. But I was pretty old when I learned of a prayer that I thought was scriptural and right, and then came up to the realization that I was off on that one too. I used to pray to the Lord, "Lord, humble me gently." And I prayed that quite frequently. I thought that was scriptural. And one day, I was listening to a younger preacher preach. He's a good friend and a good Primitive Baptist elder. And his father was also an elder. And when he was younger, he was listening to his father in a telephone conversation with another church member. And his dad, I don't know if he was the other fellow's pastor or just a brother somehow, but he was talking to him. This brother on the other end of the conversation was wanting his dad to pray for something, and he said, "No, brother, I won't pray for that." And so he's listening, wondering what it was, and he says, "No, I know you may want me to, but I'm not going to pray for that. I'm not going to pray that God will do something that He tells you to do yourself." And later, when he came to know what that was, it seems that the brother was asking his dad to pray that God would humble him. Now let me tell you, God is totally able to humble us. You may have experienced that. He's able to humble anybody. He humbled King Nebuchadnezzar, didn't he? Great king of the Babylonian Empire, brought down to eat grass like an ox. And his hair grew as bird feathers and his nails like bird claws, and he lost his reason until God had mercy on him. God's able to humble us. But what you find running through Scripture, sort of like be strong and of a good courage, what you find running through the Scripture is humble yourself. And you know, if we didn't have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we couldn't do that. We just couldn't. It doesn't run in human nature as conceived in this species. Man by nature doesn't seek after God. He doesn't understand God. There's no goodness in him, no righteousness. Man by nature does not, will not, and cannot humble himself before God. But indeed, in the judgment, he will be humbled before God. But a child of God that's been born again of God's Spirit, chosen by God the Father, redeemed at the cross by God the Son, and born again of God's Spirit, has a blessing that he is able to humble himself. And that's what we're told to do. You know, one thing that is very precious, if you see it in somebody, is that blend of boldness and courage and humility and meekness before the Lord. You know, if you've got those things and you just got one of them, it's just not quite the right balance. You've probably seen somebody before that's very bold, but they're proud. You know, they're willing to beat on their chest, they're willing to take a stand, they're willing to call themselves the greatest, and they're willing to let you know how talented they are. And there's just something that when you see that, you think, wow, they're really bold, but I don't much like it. On the other hand, if you see somebody that is very timid and very, they're not willing to stand for something. There's not a courage or a boldness about truth or standing against a wrong or standing for good against evil. Then that person, you might feel sorry for them. You might want to protect them, but still, that's not what you're looking for to take courage. You're looking for that balance of boldness and humility, of courage and meekness. And nowhere is that balance found in more perfect measure than in the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just give you a quick picture of where that's so clear to me. If you go over to John chapter 13, it said, supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him, the Lord, knowing that he was come from, that Jesus, knowing that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and lay aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. Now, that's humble, isn't it? But now you keep on reading, and as you get down toward the middle of that account, the Lord turns to his disciples and said, you call me Lord and Master, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought to wash one another's feet. Now that's bold, isn't it? You know why that's bold without being proud? It's because it's the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Lord. He is our Master. And there's something precious to me in the fact that the one who made the ground under the disciples' feet and made the stars over their head and made the molecules of water in that basin and made their very bloodstream and their life form and their brain and their bone and made all that is and called himself the Lord and Master, for he is, would yet bow down and wash the feet of his fallen creatures whom he would redeem. What a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior. I don't know about you. Sometimes I have doubts about myself, whether my love is sincere, whether my faith is real, whether, I don't know, whether I'm called to preach, whether I'm even, I have some real doubts about myself. But let me tell you something I don't have any doubts about. That man who bowed down and washed the disciples' feet and yet called himself the Lord and Master, is indeed the Son of the living God. I got lots of doubts about me, but I don't have any doubt at all. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I can confess that. And here's a great comforting scripture for me. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Now that confession doesn't cause God to come and dwell in you. That confession doesn't allow or permit God to come and dwell in you. That confession bears testimony and evidence that God already came to dwell in you and never will depart. So there's this wonderful blend of courage and meekness, of boldness and humility that's in Jesus Christ. And I hope one day, in lesser measure, it will be in me. And it's what I hope for you as well. So here the Lord teaches his disciples. He says, neither be ye called masters. He's telling his disciples, fellas, don't look for titles. Don't look for titles. Don't look for the uppermost seats. Don't look to be called rabbi. Don't look to be called masters. Don't look for being set up on a pedestal. Don't even go for that. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. What does that mean, to humble yourself? Well, it means you use the grace that God has given you. You use the faith that God has given you to do these things that in context are associated with humbling yourself. In this case, he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. If you would humble yourself in this context, you will seek to serve others for Jesus Christ's sake. I watch folks doing that. I've seen folks washing one another's feet. I see them wiping down tables. I see them carrying plates to the garbage. I see them mowing the church lawn. I see them writing cards to each other. I see them practicing forgiveness for others. I see them praying for others. I see them visiting the sick. I see the sick cheering up the visitors. I see those things of one person serving another person for Jesus Christ's sake. And that's a part of humbling yourself. And the Lord said, you'll be exalted. Let's look at some more places where this is taught. Let's go over to James chapter 4, verse 10. You'll see another place where that same expression is used. James 4, 10 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. There it is again. It's not sit around and ask God to humble you. And forgive me if I say humble sometime and humble other times. I mean the same thing. You don't sit around and say, Lord, humble me. Or even, as I used to do, humble me gently. I was wanting the Lord to make me humble without doing what he did to Nebuchadnezzar, basically. Lord, don't humble me by some disaster. Don't humble me by some tragedy. Don't humble me by some great grief. Lord, do it gently. No, that's not the Bible teaching. The Bible teaching is humble yourself. Humble yourselves, therefore, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. What is humility in this sense? Humility then is realizing that you're in God's sight. You know, all things are naked and opened with him, in the presence of him with whom we have to do. If you just realize God's always watching you. You know, we can get aside from the church members here and we can do some pretty rotten, vain, worldly things, can't we? You say, you know, you come to meeting and man, you would hardly find a better super Christian than somebody when they're surrounded by other brothers and sisters. But they get off to themselves and they do things that are shameful or things that are mean. They may insult the person that waits on them at a restaurant. They may treat somebody they think is not worthy of respect with great disdain or great superiority. You know, what you need to do is realize that being in God's sight is 24/7. And that looking upon Him is something that we endeavor to do, but He's always looking upon us. Why? You're His child. Sandy and I were blessed to go to a little musical, and you know, there were a lot of 8 and 9 year olds in there, but one of those eight year olds was our granddaughter, oldest granddaughter. Let me tell you, we enjoyed hearing the music and we enjoyed seeing all the other little children up, but you know who really had our attention in that? You know, we were looking at that granddaughter. She was up there and she had our attention. The Lord is aware of everything that's going on everywhere at all times. But you, His child, are special in His sight. You ever heard the Bible expression, the apple of His eye? You know, He's got His eye on you. His eye is on the sparrow. We sing that song. He shall guide me with His eye. And here it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Live your life as if God is watching you in all aspects, and you want to live in such a way that as He looks upon you, you know, you're delighting Him. Now, how He can look upon me when I'm using dental floss or blowing my nose and still please Him? He's gracious. He looks upon you, but He looks upon you in love. He looks upon you in grace. That's part of humbling yourself. Is serving others. Part of humbling yourself is seeing yourself in His sight as He looks upon you in love. Let's go look at another one. This is 1 Peter chapter 5. Here it says, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That's one complete sentence. Sometimes we want to stop that at the end of verse 6. Sometimes we just want to say, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, and stop that as if there's a period there. There's not a period there. There's a colon there. And after that comes verse 7, which is still part of the sentence, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. This is part of humbling yourself in God's sight. Don't hang on to a care and say, Lord, just leave this one alone. I'm going to solve it myself. That's pride. That's the opposite of humility. You say, well, I'm just going to go to the Lord with the big stuff, and I'll take care of the small stuff. You know what the Lord says about that? Who has despised the day of small things? The Lord says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in that which is much. That means casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Part of learning to humble ourselves in the sight of God, under His mighty hand. You know, sometimes I can have the wrong view about that verse. Sometimes I think of humbling myself under the mighty hand of God as God's got His fist just like a hammer, and I'm cringing under here, trembling, waiting for Him to smite me. Brothers and sisters, that's not the nature of that verse. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Let me tell you how I think of that verse. You ever seen a mother or a father hold their little child when the child's getting fussy and it's a little baby, and they tuck that little baby right up there by their shoulder, and they put their mighty hand on the top of that baby's head, and they pat it and shush it and bump it until finally the little child gives up its struggling and its fretting and its distress and falls asleep right there. And the child gets a nap, and all of a sudden, after it's napped a while, the little child wakes up and it's happy again, and you pick that little baby up and play with it. That's the way I see that verse. Sometimes we're just so distressed. Sometimes we got so many troubles. Sometimes it's so overwhelming My brother Shannon was preaching with a broken tractor and 10 million other things. I get that feeling sometimes. It's just like, Lord, life happens too fast and too many things, and I can't handle it. That's like a baby that says, I'm tired and my stomach hurts and there's too much stimulus and the whole world's out of kilter. Best thing for that baby is to just kind of snuggle right up in daddy's shoulder and have his mighty hand put upon his head and rest a while. And after he gets that rest, then daddy can pick him up and listen to him laugh. Sometimes we need to do that before God. Sometimes when there's so many distresses and there's so much stimulus and we're so overwhelmed, Psalm 57, David writes, Lord, hide me, be merciful unto me, O Lord. Let me hide myself under the shadow of thy wing until these calamities be overpassed. Lord, just let me get under your wing. And then when all these waves and billows and storms and everything wash over the wing that's over me, let me peek out from underneath. And when the storm is gone, then I'll look and see what's above me. We need that. That's part of humbling yourself. Part of humbling yourself is serving others. Part of humbling yourself is seeing yourself always in the sight of God who loves you. But part of humbling yourself is to bow down your head under the mighty hand of God, not the clenched fist of God ready to strike you, the mighty hand of God ready to cover you over. And you know what happens when you humble yourself under that mighty hand of shelter? Then in due time, when the calamities are overpassed, when your pride has fizzled out, when you feel His love surrounding you, then it's time for Him to pick you up and play with you in that joy. You know what the Lord says in Revelation chapter 3? To him that overcometh will I grant to sit in my throne with me. Can you believe that? I'm not worthy of the least of His mercies. If I receive justice and justice alone from God, into the lake of fire I would go. That, and God would still be good and fair, just and righteous, to send me there. But thanks to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for me and died for me and said it is finished and went into the tomb and rose again the third day, thanks to Him, I'm hoping for that promise that I can't even wrap my mind around. To him that overcometh. And how do you overcome? By the blood of the Lamb. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit in my throne with me. Now, I think that's Revelation 3:21. I don't view that as me sitting beside the Lord in the throne of God, you know, bossing the universe around. I don't see it that way. I'd be really worried about the universe if that was. Here's how I see that. Is the Lord sitting in the throne, and He's ruling the universe as He always will. But I crawl up in His lap like a little child and just feel His arms around me. I think that's the picture. I think that's the promise. I think that's what's coming to him that overcomes because of the blood of the Lamb shed for you by the grace of God. Sitting in the throne of God, not as the ruler of the universe, but as the beloved child of the ruler of the universe. And let me tell you, that's a great hope. When all of these calamities are overpassed, when all of these trials, when all of this dying and departing and disease and disappointment and frustration and hurt are over, then to sit in the presence of God, to stand in His presence, to dance in His presence, to sing in His presence with all the brothers and sisters, the countless multitude in His presence. What a glorious hope. What a glorious thing He has purchased for us. At what great price. Whether many or few, all my years are His due. May they all be devoted to Him. So what's the message? Just hope with that simple message. By the faith given to us through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, take courage. Don't just sit around and wish that He would strengthen your heart so that you'd be more courageous. You wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. And with regard to humility, you don't just sit around wishing that He would humble you, but humble you gently. But by faith, given to you through grace, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And this again is Christ-like. Probably many of you remember this verse from Philippians chapter 2. And this is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, where it says there that we are to let this mind therefore be in you. This is think like Christ. That's what it's telling us. Let your thought be not like you are in your fallen state. Let this mind be in you. That means start thinking like Jesus Christ. And He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He humbled Himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. How did He humble Himself? He obeyed what God sent Him to do. Wherefore God hath highly exalted Him. It even happened in His life while He was here on earth. He humbled Himself and God exalted Him. And now God says that to you. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. But whoso shall humble himself shall be exalted. What a wonderful blessing we have. Again, the purpose of predestination is to make you like the only begotten Son of God. The only begotten Son of God was thankful when He was on the earth. He was full of courage when He was on the earth. He humbled Himself when He was on the earth. What does humility mean in this case? He obeyed what God bade Him to do. You know, if God has bidden you to be baptized and follow Him as a disciple in His church, humbling yourself will not be saying, Lord, I'm just unworthy to do that. Humbling yourself will be, Lord, I know I am unworthy, but Thou art worthy. And whatsoever He saith for you to do, do it. Thereby, humble yourself in His sight and be exalted by the love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. God bless you.